What up, Long Beach? Welcome back to the 562.org and Long Beach Post and our weekly podcast called What Up, Long Beach? Obviously, we hope you and yours are happy and healthy. We're going to be continuing to talk about the LBC schools and sports teams this week on the pod. As always, I am JJ Fiddler. And on the other side of this Skype call, he's Mike Arabasio.
What's going on, everybody? What Up, Long Beach is brought to you as part of our partnership with the Long Beach Post. And we've had a lot to talk about with the Post. This seems like sports news is picking up a little bit this week, Jage. But if you're staying tuned to lbpost.com, not only will you find the podcast and some of our education reporting, but you'll also see a new 562 Classic video this week, which might be my favorite of the three, to be completely honest with you.
It certainly was the most star-studded. The summer of 2011 was marred by the lockout for the NBA. And so all the best players from Los Angeles, from New York, from the entire country, really, came to Walter Pyramid here in Long Beach and just put on a show. So we recalled that. It was kind of a long video, I'll be honest. Looking back on it, I probably should have cut like 2 minutes off that thing.
How many fifth place boys basketball videos have we done for the high school teams in Long Beach? People can sit through 10 minutes of Kevin Durant and James Harden.
That's fair. Kevin Durant, James Harden, John Wall, some of the names are Tyler Hendrickson will join us on the Classic as well. That was a fun one to call, a moment in time where Mike was raising a young child and Top Out Tyler was not concerned with how loud he was yelling on that highlight video.
You know what I realized, JJ?
What's that?
We were wrong about that. Vincent was born in 2013.
Why were you so upset?
Because I think he woke Shara.
Oh.
I think he woke my wife up, and I think it was like her first day teaching or something. So it was like the first time she was like, I have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. And he was like screaming next to, we obviously had a smaller house back then. And he was like basically screaming right next to where her head was through the wall.
That's what it was. Well, all good husbands treat their wives as if they are their children sometimes, right?
Absolutely. You got to be protective. You know, you got to be Papa Bear.
We're also going to have a video chat with Chris Betts next week. You would know Betsy from playing at Wilson. He's also a minor league all-star. And he and another local guy built a mound in their backyard to try to stay sharp during these closures. We're also going to have another local baseball guy on the pod next week, Dirtbags head coach Eric Valenzuela, talking to him about all the challenges that spring sports are dealing with right now in the NCAA, and that's actually a perfect transition into the biggest news we got today. Hashtag Save Our Sports has taken over Twitter because a few of the power conferences, aka the bigger and richer members of the NCAA, have asked the governing body to basically give them a waiver allowing for the reduction of the number of sports scholarships qualifying them for a Division I competition. Every school has a number of scholarships they need. They have a number of sports they have. They want to cut sports like water polo, volleyball, women's tennis, in order to afford the basketballs and the footballs on campus, and then get those other sports, the quote-unquote non-revenue sports like volleyball and water polo, back after this four-year waiver would be allowed. They want to be able to offer these sports. They're just saying they can't afford them right now. So I called Long Beach State Athletics Director Andy Fee on Thursday morning to talk about hashtag Save Our Sports, how he's feeling about it, and how his coaches on campus are feeling about it.
It's a hot topic of conversation right now, and I believe Coach Knipe, I think, through his coaching association, is making some comments which we spoke about and I support. I certainly understand, you know, we're in uncertain economic times and we all need to tighten the belts and figure out a way to move forward, but, you know, my initial comments are, I believe, in saving sports and, you know, saving people, so to speak, that those are the two resources that we have in intercollegiate athletics. Those are the student athletes and the coaches and staff. So basically what you're doing is you're kind of pitting, you know, football, basketball, so to speak, revenue sports, which I understand, against non-revenue sports. And I don't like that because you're putting student athletes on the front line of a potential battle, right? And I don't like to think of them as pawns on a chessboard. We're in very fluid times, and we're all trying to make decisions that impact the here and now, but we also have to think about what it means for the future. And, you know, I think a lot of people are concerned about the type of sports that are dropped, and those are the sports that that we at Long Beach State excel at. Those are Olympic sports. Those are non-revenue sports. And we're very proud of all of our programs from men's basketball, women's basketball, down to water polo, tennis. They are all important to us. And you just wonder, if this waiver goes through, is there a more permanent repercussion that eventually leads to programs in the long term being dropped?
So with NCAA being the theme, what a perfect time to bring on Long Beach State women's soccer coach Mauricio Ingracia for our interview this week. What a job he's done over there at the beach with that women's soccer program. In 16 years, they've won 8 Big West Conference titles. They've been to the NCAA tournament 7 times, including their Elite 8 run in 2011. What a memory that is. And oh yeah, by the way, he's also created an incredibly successful club program, Beach FC, that also uses George Allen Field over there at Long Beach State. So Ingracia took some time out of his busy schedule with his new baby at home to talk to us a little bit about what he's doing at home, how he's dealing with things with Long Beach State and the Beach FC, and his thoughts on how the USA Soccer Development Academy program being terminated will change women's soccer in Southern California.
Before we get to our interview, I did want to talk about dinner, because if you're like me, the only things you're really thinking about are food and sleep. At this point, that's the existence we've been reduced to. So I am tonight, basically, 4 or 5 hours after we finish recording, going to pick up our call-in order from Naples Rib Company. This is a weekly tradition my wife and I started, both as a thank you to Dave Orsini and Naples Rib Company for their support of the 562 and all of the local schools, and as a treat for ourselves, because good barbecue tastes like outside, and we really miss outside.
Coach Ingracia joining us now. What's up, Coach? I like your background of George Allen Field, but you are at home. How's everything in the Ingracia household right now?
Everything is as good as it could be under the circumstances. Yeah, just quarantined trying to enjoy the family, but it feels like we're zooming away, and it feels like we work even harder now. But everything's great. Thanks for asking. How about you guys?
We're doing well. We don't have a young baby at home, though. So are you getting some quality baby time in there? How's the sleep schedule going?
Getting quality. Well, the sleep schedule is not very good. got her in the crib for the first time in her life 2 nights ago. It was just a wild guess on my part that she might actually go in there, and she did. And so it was a big, big day 2 days ago. We're waiting for that sleep through the night moment where we can, have a big cheers after.
Dads always know when the transition time is for the crib. That's like the original dad superpower, in my opinion. Because mom would keep the baby there forever. Dad's got to reclaim the space. And then, I'll keep praying for you guys on the sleeping through the night. That's a necessity,
Thank you. Thank you for that. No, you're exactly right about that. And I'd forgotten, because my older daughter she was a baby a long time ago. So, but no, it's been a lot of fun. It's been a big blessing for our family.
So, you mentioned it. I mean, I feel like everyone we talk to says, I feel like I should be working less, and it's the opposite of that. How are you? My first question for you, because I'm in the same boat, obviously, how are you balancing everything? You're still coaching full time, but you're also in the house with your family, and so you're also now with your family full time. Like, how do you keep sane? How are you kind of juggling that stuff?
Well, first thing is my office space in the house is a complete opposite of where my family is, so that helps.
Smart.
And then I made the sign that I'm on Zoom call, so that helps if they respect that.
You just put it up at 9 a.m. and leave it up all day, basically, right?
and then just do my best. I mean, it's not perfect, but it's just that the times and when people need you when you need to be on, and that sometimes overlaps. But I think if you manage your time well, and if you put everything down on a schedule and get to what you can, and then have a set time to be finished, so that way you can enjoy that last bit of the day, I think it works out fine. But yeah, it's been a work in progress.
Have you been in contact with your Long Beach State women's soccer players? Are you guys Zooming all the time?
Yeah, we've been Zooming for a long time. We've been Zooming ever since we started. We've been doing 3-4 times a week. So we had a Zoom talk this morning.
And what are you guys talking about? Are you staying on their schedule, or are you asking them to, you know, complete tasks?
Well, what we do is we do a lot of leadership work in the off season, and each class has a book that they study and break down and dissect in order to grow. And so when we got into the situation where school got canceled and campus got canceled, we weren't finished with those projects. And so we had a good reason to get on Skype and finish that. And we did. They all finished their book, their respective books. Each class has a book, and then they graduate onto the next class and the next class and so on. And so that got it started. And then, you know, we can't monitor what they do. So we can't have those Zoom calls that you sometimes see where coaches are trying to help their kids virtually. But we can give them homework, and we can give them stuff to do. We just can't monitor it. So that's been a good interaction. And yeah, we just keeping it going and trying to find more and more things to solve and give them. There's a lot still that we've gotten accomplished, because we don't have time during regular life to do some of the things that we're doing now. So it's been great.
Right, because in regular life right now, you guys would be hip deep in spring ball. And I don't know another college coach who talks about their off-season program and their spring ball more than you. I mean, not even Troy Buckley talked about the Crucible in the fall as much as you talk about how much you guys get out of spring ball. Is it going to be really tough for your program specifically to kind of get rolling late because you guys are missing spring?
That's a good question. I think we built enough of an identity to have a good foothold on what we're going to be looking like. And we had three games. We had a lot of training to get ready for those three games. And we had three great games in the spring against good opposition, like Pepperdine, San Diego State, and University of San Diego. And it was great. We looked solid defensively. We had good minutes to create some chemistry. So I think that the kids were feeling it or tasting it, and it would have been nice to finish spring, because then it would have given us a real affirmation of where we would have been. But we were halfway there, and I think it's a good stepping stone for summer training if we get to do that. But no, I feel good about the fall. I think they do as well. I think they put in a lot of work to get ready to be at this point.
So obviously everything is shut down, you know, at the moment. You're right, you've got a Zoom background of George Allen Field. You don't actually get to be there right now. You guys are the first sporting event of the 2020-2021 season in the entire city. You guys sort of get everything kicked off. What are your expectations? I mean, are you expecting summer workouts? Are you expecting to get to play a full schedule with fans further apart or with regular attendance? Or, you know, what do you think this is all? I know you're not the governor, but what's your gut feeling on what your 2020 season is going to look like?
Well, we talked about this exact question with our team, and we gave all the scenarios. Like, look, this could be that we are that sometime before summer, you know, we're able to things open up and get back to normal. This could be that it's sometime late summer we get back to normal. This could be that, you know, it's September, or it could be that something different. And does that change that what you need to do today? Does that change? And I think everyone came to their own realization that it didn't, that everything breaks down to what you can do today and what you can do this week and how you can get a little bit better next week.
You're a great coach, because if you told me that I wasn't going to have a 2020 season, I would tell you that would dramatically change whether I was going for a run today or not.
And that's exactly my point. It was guys, like, you don't know what it's going to look like. And so that doesn't change what you should be doing today. It's very easy to fall into, and we talked about this, like time is the same, whether, time hasn't changed. It's how we're using time and what's been happening in our lives. So sometimes we talked about players feeling you know, they expressed themselves. They said, well, so a couple days it was like already 4:30 and I couldn't believe that I hadn't had lunch yet. Some players said that they became they were feeling like they were becoming nocturnal people because of this lack of construct of an everyday environment. And so very important for us, especially to keep our routine. And we don't have, I don't get up and say, hey, you have to have done worked out before we get on a Zoom or anything like that. So that they could, so that they can understand that how important a routine is. And I think they're seeing value in it, especially because they're the ones suggesting some of these things. So it's good.
I hear you got some construction going on over there. This is good. We just wrote a story about the facilities in Long Beach getting redone now with all this extra time. I see you guys are taking the same advantage.
Yeah, no, I don't know what that was. Sorry.
No worries. So speaking of kind of timeline and what you're telling people, are you kind of sending the same message to your Beach FC families here in the local area with their club sport on hold? Are you giving them the same message?
No, the club's on hold right now. The coaches are working on Zoom. We're just like all the other non-essential businesses. We're on hold. We're trying to stay connected with our family, and we try to be for that restart. That is, but yeah, no, there's no plan other than what. You know what we know, and what we know is that we're on with the rest of the world, and same as the Long Beach State, we don't know what we don't know, and we just got to keep doing what we can each day, each week, and that doesn't change. I think once people understand that doesn't change, that you can still, you know, try to be the best you can be today, tomorrow, keep a schedule. Try to stay fit, work technically on your own. We're trying to send that message and keep everybody going. And, obviously social media platform, a pandemic during social media is probably a lot better than a pandemic not during social media. So we're trying to do a lot of things online.
Could you see a situation where you're back on the field coaching Beach FC teams before you're back on the field with Long Beach State?
I don't think so. I think it'll go hand in hand, especially since, the club rents the facilities.
It's going to be interesting because one thing we've heard is, you know, right, like the Little League will be playing before the Dodgers are, right? I mean, like in some respects, just because of the crowd sizes, it might go bottom up. But as you mentioned, some of the facilities for the lower levels of sports are controlled by the higher levels of, you know, administration and education. So I'm that's something I'm really curious to see. And you're sort of in a unique position where – you know, you've got these two whole, if you were the soccer coach at Long Beach State or if you were running Beach FC, both of those are pretty full-time enterprises, right? And you're sort of seeing this, the top to bottom of this entire thing. It is just Zoom 24 hours a day for you basically, right? I mean, I guess that's, you go from being on the field and on the phone talking to people all the time to just, I'm trying to stay in front of people on the internet.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of great people. Beach is like the way I describe it is, since I started it 13 years ago, it became a giant messy desk, but I know where everything's at. So I have a lot of good people, great people that have been with me for a long, long time, and I work through them and we work together. So it's been a lot of fun actually connecting and making our club, making them more connected. And realizing some of the things that we're actually getting better because how we're connecting and working with each other now that we can't be on the field has been really good. So it's been really good for us, but we're just hoping that we can get back as quickly as possible. But to answer your question, I do think that the club world in general is a lot less is versus the college, the collegiate world. I believe the collegiate and the institutional world is more conservative, right? I don't know that we're gonna have, you know, take on the liability of putting kids on a plane. I don't know when that's gonna happen to where I feel like the club world is itching and pushing and that if they could play with masks they might, and you know what I mean, like it's just they're more aggressive as governing bodies. They just want to get back on the field, obviously, because their industry is being affected, and we depend more on
on the state and on student signing up. And I already saw Cal State Fullerton is getting ready for virtual learning in the fall. And I do feel like we're going to be more conservative with the university.
Before we let you go, Coach, we got to get your comment on a few national sports stories. The USA Soccer Development Academy was terminated last week. Some may know the academy was started in 2007, and it was basically like trying to develop more young U.S. players. That's now gone, and the MLS is talking about stepping in and forming a new youth competition league. What's your initial thought on that when you heard the academy was being terminated?
Well, we were in the middle of it because we were part of the developmental academy with our women's team, and it was a complete mess. Because on the one side, we were getting reassurances that nothing was wrong, that they were very committed to the girls' academy up until a few days before the announcement. And so it was very disappointing for us and for our families to have that announcement. But it was even worse to not have any lead time. And it's basically it was a press release, and we're done. Sorry. And so you can imagine how many clubs across the country were left out in the cold without a platform. And so luckily we moved quickly and we did the best we could. Joined the elite clubs National League. We're going to be in their regional league starting in the fall, with hopes of being fully a member in the future after that. And so we worked really hard to go there, and there's other clubs from Southern California that are working there. And then the rest of the country is trying to get organized to still have something. But it was very disappointing to have that happen. And as I'm sure I can't even imagine being a player and have the rug pulled out from under us. And it was just terrible. But I do know that they're under pressure. There's a lawsuit from the women's soccer players about equality. That combined with COVID, combined with brand new leadership at the top, a president stepped down about a month and a half ago, and then we got a new vice president that stepped into the president's role, a new GM, and I think everything combined had that unfortunate set of events happen.
So how is that going to affect local players who might have the talent to be involved in a, you know, developmental academy that we've seen before from schools like Wilson and Pauley?
Well, I think it's going to, one thing that's going to happen is players are going to be allowed to play high school soccer. So you're going to see the level of high school soccer increase dramatically because all those players will be allowed to play. There's going to be platforms right now. There's going to be, like I said, that new league or the ECNL league, they're still in existence, and they have good presence in Southern California. The rest of the country is trying to get organized in the and make a new girls academy league, and so there's going to be opportunities for sure. But I think the main thing that you can try to figure out now is what are these high schools going to look like with all the talent that's going to be available. That's going to be fun to watch.
Yep, light up that transfer portal. Let's go. It's going to be an interesting soccer season because soccer in Long Beach has just gotten better since we started covering it here when you took over in 2008. So I can't imagine it getting much better, but that's going to be a fun one for sure.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, a lot of kids got used to not playing high school, and yeah. So. In our club, like, oh, we don't know. We may not want to play high school. But I think when high school season comes around, you know, you're going to have some that are going to want to play. I know we're going to have to be ready to help the kids that don't want to play and have some kind of programming with them, maybe futsal or something like that. Right. I do think that you're going to see the high school level of soccer go up.
Good stuff as always, Coach. Thank you so much for taking the time. We appreciate it. And have fun with the little baby girl.
Thank you guys so very much. Stay safe, stay healthy. Good to see your faces. And hopefully we'll see each other soon.
That's it. That's all. There ain't no more. Before we get out of here, wrap up another episode of What Up Long Beach with our quarantine recommendations. What LB Nation can be doing while stuck at home. I've got a TV show that's a little bit old, but a gem. It's called Party Down. Obviously, TVMA. So make sure you're old enough for the mature content on Party Down. But it is one of the most hilarious shows featuring some of the future stars of comedy before they were popular. It's on Showtime, but you can get it on Hulu right now. Adam Scott is just a revelation in Party Down. I love that show.
You're an Adam Scott guy.
Absolutely.
It's because you both have pointy noses.
We also both like to make strange faces after weird stuff happens.
Can confirm, yes. But I think it's like I'm drawn to comedians that have like big fat bulbous noses like mine, and you're drawn to comedians that have like pointy noses. Like you and Pete Holmes have the same nose, basically.
It's like buying a dog that looks like you.
I recommended last week The Good Place, and we've definitely just been cranking along on that. So I haven't really watched anything else, but my recommendation, if you are, my wife and I, we spend a lot of time hanging out with our friends, and obviously we can't hang out with our friends anymore. So we've been doing a lot of Zoom calls, which are just very different, obviously, right, than going to dinner with like eight of your friends. So my recommendation for a fun thing that's sort of different and specific to Zoom, Chris Trevino and Tyler and all of our other friends, we always, whenever they would come over and hang out, we'd do Jackbox, like trivia games on the Switch. And Chris Trevino found a way to do that on Zoom. So we actually played it with all of our college friends, Jage, last weekend, and it was super fun. And then tonight after the draft, we're hopping on to do that again. So I recommend that just because it's different. It's not eight people going, hey, how are you holding up? It's okay, can't complain, right? Like, it's just a different kind of a funny thing to do. So I recommend that, Jackbox Trivia Games. And as always, I recommend Naples Rib Company because that's where I'm going for dinner tonight. And I've been counting down literally the hours to when I get to go pick that up and turn all my electronic devices off and make eye contact with another person in real life.
Absolutely. Make sure you're supporting local business. Make sure you're supporting local journalism at the562.org and Long Beach Post. So for everybody there, for Mike, for JJ, and for all of you, stay healthy, stay happy, stay inside. We will see you very, very soon.